Hey, road trippers, you have indeed reached Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits in rural Mexico. But before we can take off on this week's road trip, we need to fill up the tank, which is code for pay the bills, which is code for run the commercials for the folks who are enabling us to go on these agave road trips. So sit back and Chava and I will circle back to you in a second.
The world changed in March 2020, and again in April, and then a few weeks later, yeah, more change. And it keeps changing, but I don't need to tell you that. You work in a bar or in a restaurant, and you thought before the pandemic that you had to deal with an ever-changing landscape. Post-pandemic, it's like we're all surfing an earthquake. But at least one change is presenting new opportunities for bars. In most of the world now, you can offer cocktails to go. Some friends have told me that's become something like 60% of their revenues. 60%. But how do you build a cocktail to go program? What do you offer? How do you receive orders? How are batch recipes different than single drink recipes? How do you ensure you're charging enough to make a profit? For answers to these questions and more, check out DiageoBarAcademy.com. Among their hundreds of resources, you'll find a profitability calculator and a helpful article titled The ABCs of Batching Summer Drinks. Check out DiageoBarAcademy.com for this and more. Stay informed, get inspired, and nurture connections to grow your career or your business by joining Diageo Bar Academy. Visit Diageo Bar Academy. That's D-I-A-G-E-O baracademy.com. Visit today. It's completely free, and you will be amazed at all they have to offer. That's DiageoBarAcademy.com. Log on now at DiageoBarAcademy.com to raise the bar and enhance your career.
Just Egg is better for you. And it's better for the planet. How? Well, they've just sold the plant-based equivalent of 100 million eggs. That's 100 million eggs that use 98% less water and 86% less land than eggs that come from animals. So, if you do the math, that's 3.6 billion, that's billion with a B as in bonus, 3.6 billion gallons of water saved. In terms of impact on the environment, it's as if you took 3,000 cars off the road for an entire year. So that's how it's better for the planet. Better for you? Well, that's the equivalent of 33,333,333 omelets that Chef Jose Andres would call mind-blowing. Heritage Radio Network is proud to partner with Just Egg. And if you run a restaurant and want to get in on all this good stuff, go to ju.st/HRN. That's ju.st/HRN. And you'll get a free sample of the fastest growing egg brand on the market that's going to bring more plant hungry consumers through your door. I am Lou Bank.
I am Chava Periwan.
And this is Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits, and rural Mexico. And this is the third of our three-part Gnome mini-series in which we ask, should I care that Gnome 199 may disappear? Now, if you listen to the early episodes, you know that Gnome 199 is that regulatory document that explains what a bunch of different kinds of spirits are that not only are made in Mexico, but are also imported into Mexico, right?
Yes. And again, I want to start with a quote this episode, because again, I think it's going to give us a lot of structure. We happen to interview Alberto Esteban Marin, who was the head of the regulatory, the normative, it's so hard to translate this. Like the normativity.
He's the director general over all of the regulations that define what is what, the gnomes, under the secretary general.
Exactly.
Of the secretary of the economy. Yeah.
Yes. And we spent an hour talking with him about many things. He was the architect of this specific gnome. And he gave us a very interesting example to try to grasp its importance. So here we go.
Yo quiero producir un vino de chiles.
There was this producer that came and told us, I want to produce a chile wine. And we said, well, wait a second. If you want to call it wine, it has to be done with grapes. But he said, I want to do it with chiles. Well, you can't, but we'll find a way to give you access to the market. We'll call your product chile liqueur. We'll give a name to your product, but you can't use the word wine because wine is done with grapes everywhere else in the world. And I use this example because this producer had this exact problem. He had a bottled product that was great, but nobody dared to buy it because it didn't comply with any norm. Now he can say, I'm a chile liqueur, I comply with the NOM 199, here is my certificate. And he's selling it. Before that didn't happen. This was one of the main reasons why we created this NOM.
Well, so, okay, so A, that's an interesting example, but B, people make wine out of other fruits than grapes.
Yeah, but they don't call them wine.
Yeah, no, they do.
Where? How?
Everywhere. You can make a peach wine, you can make cherry wine, you can make strawberry wine. There's like any fruit that is fermented, that is not distilled, can be called wine.
Maybe this is a super interesting translation thing, because wine, in Spanish, vino, it's related to the grape itself. Vid. Vid is a synonym for grape.
Yeah.
So wine doesn't have that connection with grape in English. So if in Spanish you are saying vino, the word itself is describing grape. So if you're saying, it will say like fermented grape peach. It'll make absolutely no sense.
Okay, so literally in Mexico, what he's saying is accurate. You can't call it wine because there's no grape.
Yeah, it's not like saying spirit. The word vino, it is connected to grape. And it will be extremely confusing for the consumer if you were to have strawberry wine, strawberry vino.
Gotcha. So, okay. So we're talking now about this gnome, though, that's going to disappear. So that means what for this chile liqueur that he's talking about?
More important than, well, yeah, let's take the specific example he uses. The problem for this chile liqueur is that they made a set of rules for that this chile liqueur has to comply with in order to use this name.
Right. In order to use the name chili liqueur, it still has this NOM 142 that it has to conform to in order to be an alcohol that is sold on the market.
Yes. And then it has to comply with 199, and they work together. These two NOMs work together and they make sense within each other. The problem now for this specific product is that now anybody, like if 199 stops existing, anybody can come by, do something that has no chili in it, that has the most horrific, terrible, artificial chili flavor, throw it into some sugarcane alcohol and use that same name.
Well, but the assumption that everything that uses natural chiles with aguardiente is going to be delicious, I think is a false assumption.
Yes, but let's then move on to another example. Let's talk about agave spirits.
Okay.
So it is a fact that agave, it's more expensive to buy and process than sugarcane, correct?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. So if you want to use the word agave spirit or destilado de agave to describe your spirit, the rules in 199 says that at least you had to use 51% of the sugars used to make the spirit had to come from agave.
I think it's actually more than that. But anyway.
Well, the thing is, it's trying to say, okay, if you're going to use this name that it's appealing for a certain market, you at least need to invest a certain amount of money into this ingredient that supposedly is giving the character to your product. Otherwise, somebody's going to come by 99%, and this is very common in a lot of the towns that we go, when they sell you a 15 peso bottle of mezcal, it's 99% sugarcane, horrible sugarcane, and as we say, pintado, painted, with a little bit of agave spirit. So the whole point of 199 is that you cannot use certain names that are attached with a certain value without using the ingredients and some of the processes that give that value to that name or give that value to that product. Because otherwise, and I think this has happened to everybody that was my age, before they will call destilados de agave or even mezcal to stuff that was horrific and that was really misrepresenting the product. And that's why a lot of...
I hear that, Chavo, but I also recall you telling me great stories multiple times about your college days when you would drink tequila and it made you sick. And for years and years and years, you wouldn't drink tequila because of the experiences you had with awful tasting tequila.
Well, that was middle school and it was... In college, I didn't drink at all. I was an absolute nerd. But and that had nothing to do with the quality of the tequila, honestly. That had to do with being, you know, that age. And
but are you telling me that you've never had a tequila or mezcal that you thought was awful?
Yes, but not as awful. And I have to say that. Not close as awful as the things that Mistress presented. Because they literally use the most horrific and I love sugarcane. I love some of the beautiful rums and charandas that come out of Mexico. But the people that are doing this, they're not using the quality sugarcane. They're getting the cheapest, most horrific alcohol they can find in the market. They're painting it with a tiny bit. I don't even think it's agave spirits. I'm sure they're using like some artificial flavor of agave. And they're selling it to people. And it's extremely confusing and it's damaging the reputation of these spirits.
Oh, well... You know, now you're talking about a marketing issue, and I honestly, I don't know how you can regulate taste good, taste bad. I just don't. But you know, I think the fine point to this particular issue as to whether or not Gnome 199 disappears is, and it's at least in terms of our conversation, because what are we? We are a podcast that helps gringo bartenders better understand agave spirits in rural Mexico. So I come back to the question of how will this impact the jobs of gringo bartenders? And the truth is, I'm not sure that it will.
No, but if we, no, not in the practical immediate way, but I think a lot of the ways things are perceived.
Well, let me put a pin in there.
Let's be specific. Yeah.
There are so many Chicken Littles running around right now, now that this has been suggested that Gnome 199 is going to disappear, saying how it's going to literally, it was going to decimate the market for uncertified agave spirits. And I've talked to multiple brands who export uncertified agave spirits from Mexico to the USA, who have said in no uncertain terms, this is not going to affect what we do at all. Every single one of them has said that to me. Nobody is at all concerned.
Yes, in the very practical, immediate way, it won't impact.
Right.
No, like they will be doing the same thing they were doing before.
So give me the big but.
The big but for me is that a lot of the way, a lot of the ways people get excited about certain spirits is when they travel to the place of origin and they get to try it. And you have to agree with me that even today, it's hard to find good mezcal in the street. You go to Oaxaca, you go to Mexico City, you go to Puebla, and to discern what's the good stuff from the bad stuff, it's already extremely confusing.
Sure.
So I think that if 199 stops existing, there's going to be far more chances to find extremely... and again, like as you say, we cannot say taste good, taste bad, but you're going to find a lot more products that misrepresent what agave spirits are, what charanda is, what sotoli is. Well, not sotoli because he has to mention over again, but all these things that this gnome is trying to at least give the most, you know, this is like getting the, I don't know how you say that in English, but you know, when you were in elementary school and you just barely passed the exam. We will say the panzazo, like just using your belly. This is minimal requirements to at least not strongly misrepresent some of these spirits.
You know, my head goes to the stories that popped up a couple few years ago about gringos traveling down to Cabo and other resort Mexican communities and dying or being made very, very ill by drinking mezcal and tequila. And the stories, and there were a bunch of people from Wisconsin specifically that it happened to. People died from Wisconsin who went down to Mexico and drank this stuff. And there were a lot of stories in the Wisconsin press. You know, I'm here in Chicago. I see the Wisconsin press all the time. A lot of stories in the Wisconsin press about the dangers of Mexico. And so I understand the need for a regulation ensuring that everything is nice and safe, but you've got these gnomes for mezcal and tequila that didn't keep it safe. And I would argue, if you read the stories, it sounds to me like somebody at the resort was just pissed off about gringos coming down and partying and put drugs in the booze.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time since those stories about, like, and even Roberto said that. He said that when they implemented 199, 40% of the alcohol that you will find in the market had been adulterated. How do you say that in English?
Adulterated.
Adulterated. And that these drastically helped with that problem. The other part that I need to say, because I think it's important, you have to understand that a lot of the producers of agave spirits, a lot of the rural producers of these things, they sell nationally. Their mm-hmm. biggest market is not international, because that's already crazy. So you in America are used to the weirdest things in the planet. You've had Vietnamese, Filipino, Romanian stuff getting to the U.S. for centuries.
Taco Bell.
So you are not, somehow you're not so conservative about that stuff. But I, like the restaurateur, the owner of a restaurant in Mexico, it's a lot more conservative, I will claim, than the owner of a restaurant in the United States when something new comes across that comes from rural Mexico, which is understood to be less than ideal in all possible ways, in flavor, in safety, in all, like it has no credentials to validity in a way. So it's like applying for a job without a degree, just saying like, I just finished elementary school. So for these producers, they're selling nationally to these restaurants, which is for most of them, they're a big source of their income. This is the piece of paper where they say, you know, the Mexican government certifies that I am safe, that I come from a tradition, and that I'm doing that I'm not mislabeling this, that I'm not selling you something that doesn't correspond with what says in the label.
That's really interesting. So in essence, what the disappearance of 199 might mean to the gringo market is that these little spirits that start bubbling up locally get enough attention that somebody from another market comes down to Mexico, tastes it, says, hey, this Poch thing is pretty good. I'd like to bring it back to the USA. They might never see Poch, because Poch is not going to be accepted by the restaurant in Mexico City, because it's not, there's no gnome.
Where did you try your first mezcal? In a Mexican restaurant. Well, I don't know if that's true, but a lot of these guys, maybe they didn't try, but they fell in love with their first mezcales in Mexican restaurants. Yeah. Because these Mexican restaurants, Dadan Santos guys, they, like Jaime always says, that his biggest struggle for years was convincing the Mexican restaurants to buy him mezcal, because they will shrug him always. Like, why are you selling me this trash?
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. So it's short term for the USA, for the gringo bartender, doesn't mean a lot, but long term it could, if it's not replaced by something.
All these spirits that you still don't know about, you might not find them just because nobody's buying them in Mexico, and you will never have the chance to try them.
Interesting. Okay. I think we're going to call that a wrap, Chava.
I think that's good.
Okay.
Adios, Lou.
Hasta pronto.
This has been Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders learn about agave spirits. Your hosts are Lou Bank and Chava Peribán. Sound engineering by Roy Sierra. Theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Mark Rico. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, recommend it to your enemies. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lou is in charge of our social media, so if he happens to sound like an old man, forgive him. He is one. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pit Bulls, Inc.
Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio Network newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the food
world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like. Tell your friends. And please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network can drive you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If it drives you to drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Eat responsibly too. And listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive or walk. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to get up and stretch every 30 minutes. If you get up and stretch every 30 minutes, do not stretch beyond your abilities. Stay within your defined stretching capacity and consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you do not have a doctor, listen to all the shows on the Heritage Radio Network. There has to be at least one doctor among the Heritage Radio Network podcast hosts. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip out.